Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Great People TV. I'm sure all Malaysians out there are feeling a little confused with the general election lately, but we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about eradicating poverty. So our guest today is Dr. Tini, who is the co-founder of Yayasan Child Kit, a.k.a. Tini, a very top professional, great person, and also a good friend. Tini, welcome to Great People.
Thank you, Ben, for inviting me to be here today. It's nice to sit and chat with you.
Thank you. I'm so honored. I know how busy you are, but let's get straight into it. Poverty eradication. How would you define poverty eradication here in Malaysia and also the Asian region?
Okay, I'm not an economist. Let me start off by saying that. So I don't have numbers in the traditional sense of the word. It's not per household.
Don't go there. Please don't go there. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know,
keep it generic and simple.
Yeah. For me, poverty is very simple. Can you take care of your family? Can you take care of yourself? Do you have all your basic needs met? And when basic needs, it's obviously food, shelter, electricity, enough to support yourself and your kids, and that you live in dignity, that you don't need to ask for handouts, and that nothing is taken away from you or obstacles placed there to help you or to dissuade you or stop you from taking care of yourself. And yeah, it's really simple. And that's just basic. That's just to survive. It's not even to thrive or have upward social mobility. I'm just talking about living day to day. Yeah. So for me, that's what poverty is. When you don't have dignity and you can't take care of yourself or your family.
Okay. Well put. But the work that you do as the co-founder of Yayasan Chok, sorry for my piece, but I always like to pronounce things correctly rather than incorrectly, which is very embarrassing. But the work that you do with your Yayasan, tell us about that and how poverty eradication fits into the agenda, because Yayasan Chok Kit is also about looking after children who have been marginalized.
Yeah. Okay. So the work in Child Kit started because so many children around Child Kit, which is where I first started volunteering when I came back, live. And you see the conditions that they live in. And because of the impact of certain things, most of the children don't have birth certificates and then they get called foreigners, which is not true because it turns out 90% of the kids are actually Malaysian born, just thinking of their parents who, you know, our generations of Malaysians. And then, of course, as you get more entrenched in the work that you do, you see the impact of not having shelter, not having enough food, not having enough things for children. And I realized really quickly that child protection cannot just be about children. If you want to protect children, you have to protect the parents, you have to protect the mothers, you have to protect the fathers, you have to protect the communities. And protection means empowerment, especially if you're talking about wanting to ensure that every family can take care of themselves. And empowerment comes through education and information and to making sure that the basic needs get met. So there's no point me telling a kid, you deserve every right to be an astronaut if that's what you want to dream, but your conditions at home are such that you can't do your homework, you don't have enough to eat. And that was actually highlighted during the pandemic. The priority is, and we say the way out of poverty is education. But the dropout rate after the pandemic was enormous. The access to education was 37%, 36% urban, rural, it's almost the same. And education became a privilege. If education is now a privilege, especially for so many poor, you need to eat. You need to have money to go to school, transportation, uniforms. You're sick. You haven't eaten for 2.5 years. Your parents lost their jobs. Your father lost his job. The mother lost her job. Especially if you're already on the brink of making just enough to get by. And I'm not talking about 2,000 ringgit a month. Yeah, I'm talking about 800 ringgit a month, which is below the poverty line. You lose that job, right? Which is in the informal sector. Restaurants have closed. Your mama's stores have closed. You tell me what they're going to do. So then education becomes third or fourth a priority. Food becomes first. Health becomes second. And so you are having to drop out of school if you're a child to support your family. Your father is crying, and you can hear your father crying because I talked to the kids, because he has no job. They're going to lose their house. They've been going to be chased out of their home. They have nowhere to go. Forget enrolling the kids in school. Everybody's all over the place. So that is where the poverty comes. The realization that a father cannot take care of his family, the realizing of a child that his father cannot take care of him and that he most probably has to drop out of work. That for me is poverty, when you rob them of that dignity. And it is the most heartbreaking thing when education becomes a privilege, and that's a basic right. When shelter becomes a privilege, or in many cases that I have to deal with now, it's single mothers. Do you use the money that we give you for food to pay the electricity bill because you haven't paid it in 4 months? And you are now having to ask me or anybody else for money to tap the electricity from your neighbor's house, and then it getting cut, and then you having to go out and buy the wire again, you know, the dawai again, to go tap illegally from your other neighbor's house because you just don't have the money. That is poverty.
Oh, very powerful and factual and informative statement, right? When you were saying about chasing people out of their house, the immediate words that came to my mind were structure and system. So get me to my next question. How would you rate the structure and the system of Malaysia in terms of trying to support and actually eradicate poverty in the country?
You can forget eradicating poverty. That's not going to happen. The pandemic has actually exacerbated the whole issue on poverty. We're all focusing on urban poverty versus rural poverty. The truth of the matter is it's terrible in both places. Maybe even more because of the cost of living and the fact that you have so many people on top of one another living in small cramped places, but rural isn't doing much better as well. You have no clean water. Yeah. You go see the wells in rural areas, they're green. Yeah. You go to Sarawak, the pipes are all not working and rusty because they put in pipes that are 40 years old that they can't change because the diameter for the pipes are too small. Whatever it is, no clean water. Or you go to Sabah and people are dying. Systems are, to start with, even before the pandemic, faulty. You have this whole bureaucracy of it where to access food, to access services is 16 pages of paperwork, right? And then you have to wait another 3, 4, 5 months to wait for the welfare officers to come and assess whether you're deserving of aid or not. And if you get aid from JKM, from Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat Welfare, you don't get aid from Zakat, yeah? You don't get aid from Baitumal. You only get one or the other. You don't get both. So as a mother with 2 children who have special needs, who is working in KL for 800 ringgit a month, needing to pay her rent, which is 30 ringgit a month, that's already gone over her salary. Yeah? Then you've got the kids and stuff. Even with access with aid from JKM, okay, that's $700 a month. It's 1,005. You paid your rent for a month, but you have no food and you definitely have no aid for any therapy, books, school, whatever it is, transportation, zero. Okay, so that was before the pandemic. Now, the mother has no job. You've still got the 2 kids, no shelter, no food. And guess what? The kid are suffering from malnutrition because they had no proper food for 3 years. So is the system faulty? Yes, to begin with. Now, it's complete chaos. Now is the opportunity, I think, to restructure and relook at how we give out aid, how you transition from people getting subsidies and handouts to ways in which you can skill and upskill them and to move into job employability of some sort. And I know people don't like this. They need to go back to the villages because the urban areas are too packed and too full. We don't have a system that can support them. Any system, transportation, with nothing. Just go back to the villages. And we can bring different kinds of alternative technology and job opportunities for them if they stay there, especially with food security, which is, of course, something I'm working on. But that's just one thing I can think of. So, yeah, system needs to get changed, although completely.
It's faulty. It needs to be changed, obviously, with the time right now. With the recent general election, God willing, inshallah, it will change, hopefully, for the
better. Yes. And there'll be more collaboration and pooling of resources.
And I know you'll
be there. We don't have anything.
And I know you'll be there very directly and bluntly putting pressure on the politicians, which is what we'd like to see. So that's all.
Camping outside their doors. Yes, I'm waiting to see.
Good on you. Yeah. But let's talk about the positives. Great people teach about positive and positive people and great people like yourself. So tell us about the wins that you've achieved that you're proud of.
The wins are that this is an opportunity to overhaul a system that's been very broken, like I said. This is the chance to say, okay, you know what? Let's take a look at this. We know we need to look at it collectively. We know that we don't have enough resources. Let's pull everyone together. And the willingness and the goodwill and the understanding that this needs to get done is there. We just need to put people together. Everybody's collaborating and stuff. this is the time to restructure. And it's an opportunity. I think that's a positive. The fact is that we see how nonprofit organizations and civil society can play a bigger role. That was very obvious. Your neighborhood watch, your neighborhood people were working together, banding together to help and to with giving out food and helping with different things during the pandemic. We know Malaysians are naturally very giving. We just need to put a structure in place and to come up with a system that works. It's all hands on deck because this is the time and I know we can do it. We just need to approach it differently. So there was wins.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So speaking of which, next steps, sorry, WIPs. Your WIPs?
Working on progress. So we're starting. So we're looking at, okay, so I sit on the National Recovery Council. It's beside the point whether we're going to have one or not. I work on security. I work on child protection. We look at education and stuff for children, very child focused. And we were already starting pilot project. We managed to look at, talk to ministers and work it in. So we're starting a food security pilot project in Johor coming up soon. Actually, it will be announced and it will be launched where the entire state is going to work with corporates, with NGOs, with civil society, Crescent, and et cetera, and stuff in all the mercy to sit down and really look at the whole landscape. Start with emergency food because there's floods and stuff. Identify and map out where all the poor are, who are hungry, who are able-bodied, what do they need, what do they want, getting the community leaders and the Pengulu Kampongs involved in actually building up from there through food security, looking at food tech and alternative food choices and stuff and being able to bring in investors and stuff. So I'm actually very excited. It's a lot, but I love that the Johor State Government is willing to give us a chance to start this out and to help the poor in a more systematic and sustainable way. So that's one. We're also looking the same for shelters. We're looking at the same for education. We're looking at the same for children's health. So yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of work, but I love it.
Absolutely. And two final questions before we call it a day right here, because it's been a wonderful episode. People TV, great inspiration on your side. Factual information first. Where can people find out a bit more information about the work that you do? And yes.
Oh, you can go to www.yck.org.my. So we have a website, so you can go there and you can also volunteer. Yeah. And you know what? And honestly, people can get me on social media. You can find me so easy. So I do check my inboxes and spam and everything else. So yeah.
As you can see, the social media handle right there for Tini.
Yep.
And also, last questions, and I do have to ask you this question because you're always so positive, you're always so upbeat, you speak so well and passionately about this. But let's be very honest, this topic, poverty eradication, children who are marginalized, you're always dealing with a tough situation which requires to put flames. Requires a special individual to do that all the time, 24/7.
A mad person.
What drives you? Because you're very qualified, you've got a PhD, you can do other things, but what drives you in this line of work?
The injustice served towards children. There's a reason why children have special protection, because they're children, and they're 18 especially. And I hate the fact that babies suffer or children suffer. And I take it seriously. It's very simple, and anybody can do this. Do you believe that all children should go to school? Do you believe that children should be happy? Do you believe that all children should have families? Do you believe that all children shouldn't be sick? They should be playing? If you believe that, then we have the same values. It's nothing magical. I just happen to really believe it and believe that every child deserves an opportunity to be the best version that they possibly can. And anybody who stands in their way are wrong. That's it.
Well, you summed it up very well. Injustice. So that is the view for the Justice League. Oh, Dr. for poverty eradication and for children and young people not to be neglected and for other people to live better. Tini, yep. Thank you so much for your sharing today, your wisdom, your inspiration. Actually, we can go on and on. And if you ever want to go on and on and you just want to come and rant and you want me to ask certain questions, hit me up on WhatsApp. We'll welcome great people to any day of the week.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure indeed. Thanks, Tini. Take care, yeah? And everyone, please follow our social media handles as always. But until the next episode of Great People TV, don't forget in December, we will be taking a little bit of a break, but we will be back in January to resume our Great People TV content. Until then, we'll speak very soon. Take care and stay safe.